Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, welcome to Talking Pictures. As always, it's your host Paul Booth here. I'm just coming down from the buzz of being at the Turner Classic Movies Film Festival, which takes place right in the heart of Hollywood, in the man's Chinese multiplex, which is part of the same building as where the Oscars are held. They also show movies at the Egyptian. I got to see Sidney Lumet's The Pawnbroker 2 years ago, and Quincy Jones introduced it with Robert Osborne. That was pretty amazing. And I got to see On the Waterfront at Grauman's with my father. It's now called the TCL. We respect everybody's opinions. But on this show, it's Grauman's. We don't know what TCL is. I've never heard of those three letters. Again, interesting choice for the last day of films, because we have some festival tributes, we have some essentials, we have some religious films, some inspirational sports movies, restored prints, a real interesting gambit for a closing day of festivals. Usually closing day of festivals are kind of maybe where winners are repeated. Of course, this isn't a festival with awards, or it's a day for something that, you know, made the cut but wasn't something that needed to be pushed on the first days. But this is a great kind of intriguing list. I've seen about half of them, and I'm going to, first of all, let you know where they're playing and when. And then I'm going to go into my thoughts to share with you. I'm not going to deter you from saying don't attend TCM, but I'm going to let you know and give you some thoughts in advance, because this is a programmer who really knew what they were doing, of course, because TCM does, to get the diversity going. But just in, once we get into this, the first one will be at the Grauman's Chinese Theater IMAX. Again, TCL for map purposes. MASH, 1970, groundbreaking film. Not for everyone, of course. It was turned into a TV show. Donald Sutherland was kind of on that break of becoming known, really launched himself with Clute. Of course, Donald, the father of the great Kiefer Sutherland, or Kiefer, the son of the great Donald. Elliot Gould, again, who we mentioned yesterday, did not get a start as Rachel Green's father on Friends. He was in Altman's The Long Goodbye, and just a great actor. MASH was a very subversive film. Great entire backstory behind that of Altman fighting with the studios, and Altman was this guy who came out of Kansas City directing commercials and just was not going to veer off of his vision. And a lot of our best filmmakers come from and paid the price for it, whether it be their films taking longer to get made, or their budgets being cut, or the Academy not awarding them. Hal Ashby, Stanley Kubrick. But you know what? They stuck to their guns, and that's what matters. They're gone. Their Oscars would be gone or sold, but their work stands. So MASH, if you like the show, probably going to like the movie. If you've never experienced it, never heard of it, and you're going it for Elliot Gould, just know that you're going to see something different that you might be able to appreciate. But it's not, I don't believe it's what it's always talked up to be. Again, that's just my opinion. We love TCM. Another thing that's going to be going on, we'll jump to the noon time, because that's a 9:50 a.m. at the IMAX. And I'm sorry, the computer is jumping around here. I have the schedule in front of me, and I'm just, bear with me one second here. We love that we have the technology to watch DVDs of our favorite films and all that good stuff. But then when it comes time to use the technology for how we needed it, it messes up. There'll be a memorabilia exhibit in, pretty sure in Club TCM, or in the lobby, entertainment memorabilia exhibit and appraisals from Bonhams. The lobby is always cool. They had it set up cool today with like a Hollywood sign and a Hollywood backlot set. And there was some great energy. I unfortunately traffic got me there a little bit later than I wanted to be, so I caught kind of that tail end of the festival. And this is a festival that's grown by about 15 to 20% each year, so it's great to know that classic film lovers out there are taking these trips across the country. I heard some people talking today that they came from New York, and I just dig that for every Iron Man, Star Wars fan, they might sit outside all night in front of the cinema, but they wouldn't, they don't fly 6 hours and then sit in LA traffic, and then possibly not even know that they're going to get in, because in all due fairness, films can be sold out. So, kudos to that, to the people that are keeping with classic films, because we would have no Star Wars without these films. Tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. in the Chinese Multiplex One, Charlie Chaplin's The Kid. That film was made in 1921. Let's think about that for a bit here. That's 95 years. This was a hard film to find. I found it, I only remember because it was my 33rd birthday, and I was going through a very troubling personal time. I had had a seizure and hit my head, and I was very forgetful, and I couldn't drive, and it was just a really, it was going to be a hard birthday for me. I didn't know what to do. I just moved to California, so I didn't have many friends out here. I was thankful that I had my parents, but it was just kind of like, what is my birthday going to be? And they had this great Charlie Chaplin marathon on with Modern Times and City Lights and The Circus and a couple of his other short, A Soldier in Arms, which every war film takes from when you see these trench scenes. And they showed The Kid. And I thought, God, I finally get to see The Kid. I've been wanting to see this film since I was 19. That's the beauty of film. Sometimes we do have to wait 15 years to see it. The Kid, there's nothing that I can tell you about it. I don't want to spoil it. You've seen clips of it in documentaries. You've seen clips of it if you watch TCM. You've heard friends talk about it. It was just this it's this beautiful film with Charlie Chaplin. And, let me just take a look here at the synopsis and see how I can possibly maybe tell you something. Okay, it celebrates its 95th anniversary with a restoration print. It was his first feature as star, director, writer, and producer. So you can see now where George Clooney, Kevin Costner, Ben Affleck actually doesn't produce what he writes, directs, and stars in. So, even as talented as he is, Brad Pitt didn't write and direct 12 Years a Slave. So this shows you where the top, the cream of the crop, the top of the coffee. I'm not going to get metaphorical, whatever. We all know Chaplin. The Kid is one that is overlooked because it's so hard to find. If you have a chance to get out and see it, check it out. It is worth the time. It's an hour long. At 12:45, I'm just going to tell you that this is playing in case you get there late or in case you've seen The Kid. The Burt Reynolds version of The Longest Yard. I'm not understanding why, when I read you the next couple of films that this is paired with, no disrespect to the programmer, but I'm clueless as to how this was the choice of films to give people, because I have this vision of The Kid being sold out and Horse Feathers being sold out after The Kid, Children of a Lesser God being sold out at 1 p.m. and just an empty theater at 12:45 with The Longest Yard. I want to say the only thing that would maybe make this interesting is that Al Rudy, who produced the Godfather films, I know it was interesting a few years back to have Robert Evans introduce Black Sunday. But it was more so just kind of like, wow, that's the guy that produced The Godfather. And of course, this weekend we celebrated Francis Ford Coppola by giving him some handprints in front of Grauman's theater. And of course, those won't be ready for about 6 months. Since I've been covering the festival, we've had Jane Fonda. I am not one. I cannot believe I'm forgetting who it was last year. But always a great thing. Always great to see these filmmakers get honored. Shard, that just basic. Burt Reynolds starts a football team in prison. The Adam Sandler, Chris Rock version I thought was hilarious. I thought was brilliant. It prompted me to say, why do they even want to remake The Longest Yard? But then I saw that, Sandler and with Mr. Deeds was a remake. He somehow manages to find a way in to put his own spin. That's why one of the reasons I respect Adam Sandler. Some of his films have been duds. People complain about, just go with it. They complain about The Cobbler, but for someone who can persistently write and produce and act in films and keep projects going and produces friends films, kudos to Mr. Sandler. He's doing what you should do in the business, which is to get a big break and then help your friends have their visions come to life as well. Children of a Lesser God, I'll read the synopsis to you here. 1988, 1986, sorry. Marlene Matlin, you may have remembered her on The West Wing, has, oh, why am I forgetting her name? This is so wrong, I apologize. Joey Lucas had the back and forth with Bradley Whitford, Josh, who played Josh Lyman. She was the first actor to win an Oscar, youngest woman ever named Best Actress, and the only deaf actor to ever win an Oscar. Her performance provides the perfect centerpiece for a film. It gave many viewers their first real insight into the world of the deaf. It is such a good movie. I mean, obviously she picked up the Oscar, and I mean she couldn't hear her associate's words. She couldn't hear what the director wanted to tell her. I believe sign language sure gives them communication. They are no different. They're just as human, but to really dig into that without a tone of voice, let's face it, tone of voice makes or breaks everything, and especially ruins things nowadays since we no longer have tone of voice with email and text. And I'm so happy right now. I'm only talking slow to contain myself. Bamble over my words when I talk. But look at my tone of voice right now. For all you guys could think is that I'm wishing this was over. But I could talk about TCM and these classic films for the next 6 hours, but I know most of you wouldn't be listening, so I'm not going to do that. Children of a Lesser God, superb film, co-starring William Hurt, who is on his own, what you call, was on his own role after Kiss of the Spider-Woman. He had won an Oscar. He had been nominated for The Big Chill and The Killing Field. So him and Russell Crowe, I believe, are the only two guys to get nominated for Oscar years. And of course, Hurt and Russell Crowe only won one of the 3 times. William Hurt stands out, one of the great underrated actors with a record like that. Next, we have Horse Feathers. Under Essentials, which is the Marx Brothers. And I was watching Animal Crackers the other day on TV, and I thought, is there a comedy that doesn't take from this movie? They're playing in Chinese Multiplex House One. It's the fourth Paramount film, the funniest football picture ever made. Its surrealistic finale, as the Marx take on a rival team in an effort to save Huxley College, is a highlight, but that shouldn't obscure the film's other great gags aimed at academia. The Marx Brothers, there's not a superlative. There's Chaplin, who of course was before them. There's Buster Keaton. There's Harold Lloyd. There's whoever your favorite silent comedian is. But if you're not up, these guys had their words. They had one-liners. But it's still about Groucho with the cigar. It's still about the eyebrows. It's still about the overall performance and the nuances of comedy. I think I would really be interested. I wish we had a way that we could get people to call in and say that they watch this on TCM channel one day, or went and saw this and then called in and told us what they thought, because this would be an intriguing one to interview the audience afterwards. Old Yeller, I have never watched this. I probably wouldn't be able to handle it now because I've had a dog pass away. I'm so attached to my new dog that I don't want to see a movie about doggies that pass away, but I think it's famous enough by now that that's what happens to Old Yeller. Marley and Me with Owen Wilson and Jennifer Aniston was too much. So Old Yeller can remain a classic and will be. Came out the year my mother was born. Then we jump into the afternoon and we have some Norman Jewison going on with the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. Again, I'm going to break just a small rule, but most of this episode, you know, I have said some things about myself, so I think I'm just going to roll with that because TCM is personal to all of us. Everyone that you hear talking in lines, everyone that shows up has a personal attachment to a movie. You don't hear them saying, I have to see this next Spencer Tracy movie because Spencer Tracy's dead. You don't hear this, I've been reading on the internet about, or I'm going to get this deal, because these are films that your dad showed to you, or your grandma, or like Boys in the Hood, I saw what I wasn't supposed to. I met Dana Brown, the son of Bruce Brown, who we'll get into a little bit briefly, intro, The Endless Summer, which I saw tonight, and will be reviewing tomorrow. As part of our TCM wrap, I was fortunate to see it with my mother. But I told Dana Brown that I cut out of school to see his film, and he got a smile out of that and then asked me if it was high school, because he wanted to make sure he wasn't promoting like intermediate school, cutting out of school. And then we laughed, because that's just what you do. You cut out of school to surf, or you cut out of school to watch movies. If you're a surfer who makes films, then you know passion, and passion is film, like Martin Scorsese says, which he stole from Frank Capra. Film is nothing more than a hormone. Once you get it in your blood, it's stuck there and it doesn't go away. There's no curing it. So I'm happy to say that I'm stuck with film in my blood. She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. Keith Carradine's going to give a talk about this. This was a John Ford, Pappy Ford classic, known from one of the quote-unquote Calvary trilogies, which was She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. I'm not going to get into it because everybody always changes what the other two are, but the Calvary trilogy, this was the second one. Howard Hawks saw Red River, and it gave John Ford an even more ambition role in the second film in his Calvary trilogy. And She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, you know, it kind of feels like a regular John Ford, John Wayne film, or a Hawks Wayne film, where, you know, Hawks has Wayne kick everybody's butt. But this has some interesting messages and kind of, you know, has some interesting themes that the Duke played in a subversive way. Years later, Wayne would call the part one of his favorites and state that he should have won his first Oscar nomination for this film rather than Sands of Iwo Jima. Ford surrounded Wayne with members of his unofficial stock company, including Ben Johnson, Victor Meleglin, Mildred Netwick, Harry Carey, and George O'Brien, and endured harsh conditions and shooting in Ford's favorite location, Monument Valley. For one shot, Ford insisted on keeping the cameras. So Keith Carradine's going to talk about that with us. I am unsure his connection. I apologize. I haven't seen She Wore Yellow Ribbon in about 10 or 12 years. I blazed through a lot of Ford Westerns when I was obsessed with those. The last two films I'm going to mention of the night are number one, Get Yourself Out to the Official Closing Party. If you have a badge, media, VIP, spotlight, classic, whatever it is, you do need a badge. It's not open to the public. Again, TCM, the least of the snobs, film snobs that you can have. Do people have egos? Yes. Will you meet a film historian that has an ego? Yes. Will people get into that? Yes. It's part of film. But the party is not to separate you. The party is just to honor those who have purchased badges and helped keep the festival going through, you know, spending a higher level on the festival. The parties are always fun. They're nice. They're a great chance. I actually got to meet one of my greatest mentors 3 years ago. It was a really great thing. She's been on our show. She actually named this show. We're going to have her on soon. But I met her at a party, just sitting there talking with her. They're going to be showing Cinema Paradiso at 7:30 in the TCL Chinese Theater IMAX. Again, not TCL, but Chinese Theater IMAX, TCL. Yeah, I'm sorry. There might be a man's IMAX. I forgot that there is. So I just mean the huge big one on the corner of Orange and Hollywood, across from the Roosevelt and right down the street from the ASC. We just can't call it TCL. It's Grauman. So that's my last bit. Cinema Paradiso. I'm not going to say anything, but see this movie, Italian, in subtitles. I will let you know that it does have, if I remember correctly here, it does have a 2 hour and 35 minute running time, but that will fly by. The ending will make you cry. The ending will just have you. You will walk out wanting to see it again. There's a remake. I haven't seen it, so I won't judge it. But when it comes to Cinema Paradiso, you really need to sell me some good steak and some good lobster. And it just better be good if I'm going to watch a remake. Finally, I'm going to wrap it up with one of my personal faves. And tomorrow we will have a full review from my mother and I, the co-executive producer of the show, one of the co-executive producers. We saw The Endless Summer on the big screen. We heard stories from Bruce Brown. She met Bruce Brown. I met Dana Brown. We heard more stories. And we're going to share that with you guys. So check in for the next episode. The Endless Summer is a surf film. Everybody knows it as a surf film, but this film is a metaphor for life. And we're going to get into that because this made me think of buddies I know in Canada that snowboard. It made me think of every type of friend I have that surfs. And most of all, it just made me think about anybody that has a passion to do something, that once you have that, you know, you're off wanting to live your own endless summer. So we're going to leave it at that. But the last thing I'm going to recommend to you, even if you have to take a break from a movie, if you live close, go home and catch a nap. If you have to skip a movie and just grab some tea and wait the extra time in the lobby, get yourself over to the Egyptian, which is an awesome theater. Of course, I'll always have a special meaning to me because I saw the Cincinnati Kid with Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway. I interviewed Norman Jewett in there. It was my first Oscar-nominated Thalberg Award-winning director, producer of a Best Picture that I ever interviewed. It was my second film festival, and he just gave me so much inspiration by the talk we had and what his films meant to me. And he was so kind and so, you know, it will cut into network, and I've never seen the Russians Are Coming. The Russians Are Coming is before network, so go ahead and check that out. That's at 4:15. That'll get out with enough time for you to see network. But what I wanted to say was we have network. Sidney Lumet, all I'm going to say is this film insinuates that we're going to eventually have reality TV. This was made in 1976. And it insinuates that the news is going to make stories entertainment just to more money for their stockholders. Don't even think of putting an R in a parenthesis next to your name or a D in a parenthesis. Don't start throwing mud at Obama. Don't start throwing mud at Bush. Don't start blaming Bernie Sanders. Fact is, our news is entertainment. Our news is to make a buck. I apologize, but President Obama did not start the news. Neither did George Bush. So you got to watch this film. To me, it's a horror film. It is scary. It is truth. And anybody who likes to say that this film is full of it or isn't truth just lives in that much more of denial. So again, we respect everybody's opinion, but network is the one that catches you with your hand in the cookie jar. You try to just say that network is not what we've become. You're at minimum lying to yourself. I wouldn't call anyone a liar, but we can lie to ourselves. With that, and it's not a depressing movie, it's superb. It won Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress. Almost became the third film to win the 4 acting awards, but unfortunately that did not happen. And also Peter Finch, who won the Best Actor Oscar, died while doing press for the Oscars. So that's a little historic artifact that sadly is followed by Heath Ledger, the only other man to win an Oscar after his death, and they're both from Australia. So if you really want to be a film geek, as if you're going to TCM, odds are you are one. That's just a sad fact. Lastly, if you can't get into network, I definitely suggest A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, 1945, Elia Kazan, wonderful director. I know he takes crap for naming names. I know he's booed and this and that, but you can't deny the work of A Streetcar Named Desire or On the Waterfront. Yes.
90 seconds.
Take your time to see it if you don't get into network at the Egyptian. You will be able to hop on over to Chinese Multiplex, 8 o'clock, and it's a 9-hour and 45-minute movie, and maybe that'll give you a chance to jump over and hear the Q&A with Miss Faye Dunaway at Network. And that, my friends, do it for me for this TCM preview of Day 3. And as I said, we will be back tomorrow with a wrap of the festival as a whole by reviewing The Endless Summer. Like always, thank you to everyone. Chris, Gladys, all the Chelseas, everyone that helps us. We love being a part of this event. Toast to this being the 5th year, and we look forward to many more years of collaborating to support this effort. Aloha. Make sure you do whatever you're going to do tonight. Get some good rest so you can check out The Kid and Norman Jewison. Aloha.